relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
It is completely unethical that high-income countries are now vaccinating young and healthy people if that happens at the expense of people in risk groups and on the front lines in low- and middle-income countries. And this is a moral test. We talk today about showing solidarity, and yet vaccine nationalism, it's what's running the vaccine distribution.
Sorry, guys, I had to open this show with Greta. Why? Because I didn't get to use the cut yesterday about vaccine nationalism, her latest gripe of the day. I wanted to do it in honor of the guest we're opening the show with, my colleague, the superstar, the creator of Prager University, the author of The Rational Bible, Dennis Prager. Welcome to America First.
Thank you.
Did you catch that from Greta, the vaccine nationalism, her latest complaint against Western civilization?
It's one of the most pernicious forms of nationalism of which I have ever been aware. Right. Actually, as far as I'm concerned, you see, here's the irony. If God forbid, there were bad reactions to the vaccine and we did, in fact, have more people in poor countries take the vaccine, then we would have been accused of genocide.
Of course. Yeah, we can never win. Okay, let's get down to business. I know you've just had 3 hours on radio. You've got to get to an event. I very much appreciate you joining me for the opening here. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, if it's completely inappropriate, but I had a Damascene moment when reading your article in American Greatness. Whites aren't hated for slavery, but for making America and the West. And just one sentence that if you could expand upon it, it just explained everything for me. Whites made the country and the greatest civilization, not because they were white, but because of the values they held. Hatred of whites is ultimately hatred of those values. And you use that to explain the events we've witnessed in the last 24 hours. Dennis, just expound in a few minutes, if you would.
You know, this is going to sound bizarre to your listeners, perhaps, but I don't care. It's what I believe. It is a credit to you that you have realized how important this article is. I try to make every column important. But this is in the top five of the 1,000 I have written, and they're all on the internet. And it takes a Seb Gorka to realize, oh, my God, this is really, really important. Whites are not hated because they had slavery. Everybody had slavery.
Yes.
But only whites are hated. Nobody's hating. In fact, if you hate Muslims and Arabs who had more slavery than whites, if you hate them for slavery, you're called an Islamophobe. So it's clear it has nothing to do with slavery. The hatred of whites is for the culture they made. And I have, by the way, a proof text. Why was Shakespeare's picture taken down at the University of Pennsylvania English department? Because he was white. Did Shakespeare own slaves? No. He didn't even know what slavery was about. There was no transatlantic slave trade at that time. So This is only because he is white and because he wrote the greatest literature in the world. Japanese study Shakespeare. A friend of mine in Israel translated Shakespeare into Hebrew. Everybody on earth who is literate reads Shakespeare, not because he's white, because he's great.
So let me just, for those who still don't understand the enormity of what Dennis has written, and we're putting it on our Twitter feed, our Facebook page, read the whole article right now. The argument is, if the people who had created America and Western civilization, if their skin color had been Black Watch tartan, it would have been Black Watch tartan skinned people that they hate. Correct, Dennis?
That is exactly correct.
Okay, good. Now, here's one thing. I just want to last question. You mentioned here the attributes, the values that they hate. And one of them is belief in the Bible, belief in God. And you also say that it's envy of success. Can I just slightly qualify that and see if I'm on the right track? It's not just envy of success. I believe it is the hatred of a ethos of earned success. Because if you want to propagate reliance upon others in a victimhood scenario and relationship, then earned success kills that ideological success.
I subscribe to that completely, okay. And I noted it in that America, by being capitalist and Judeo-Christian and so successful, America, more than any other society, is a living rebuke to leftism. How could this place be so successful,
yes,
that is so capitalist and so religious? So we have to undo capitalism and undo religion.
And the similarity and the connection, if you will, Dennis, to the why the Jews were hated and why whites were hated, because that's so many people say, oh, well, hang on, it was the whites that persecuted. That doesn't make sense. But there are commonalities, are there not?
Between anti-Semitism and anti-Americanism or anti-whiteism?
Yes, yes, yes. That's
why I wrote. I have a very highly regarded book on anti-Semitism, wrote many years ago. It's in its third edition, and that is Why the Jews. And in it, there has been a chapter so decades before all of this that anti-Americanism is a modern form of anti-Semitism.
Right. Right. The book is Why the Jews. His latest book is The Rational Bible. Follow him at Dennis Prager. Support PragerU, Prager University, one of the most important.
And read this column.
Read this column. We're posting it right now to our more than a million followers on Twitter. Read it. Lastly, Dennis, where does this all end? Is there an end state for these people, or is it purely anarchy?
No, they want anarchy to be solved by their having power. That's what the communists did. You know it. You're one of the few who knows it as well as I do. You lived it. I almost lived it by visiting Hungary under communism, as well as all the other Eastern European countries, except Albania. You couldn't get in. And that's their end game is power.
Yeah.
But the route is chaos.
God bless you, Dennis. It truly, when I read this article today, everything became clear to me. Thank you, Dennis. God bless you, your muse, and your whole team. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. The article is Whites Aren't Hated for Slavery, but for Making America and the West. Key arguments. Let me share them with you. Whites made the country and the greatest civilization, not because they were white, but because of the values they held. Hatred of whites is ultimately hatred of those values, including what? Success, belief in God, belief in the Bible, and, as Dennis explains, capitalism and the success of the free market enterprise system. By becoming the most successful country in history, America, the quintessential capitalist country, remains a living rebuke to everything the left stands for. If America can be brought down, every left-wing egalitarian dream can be realized. What the left does very much seek to destroy is America as we have known it, the capitalist and Judeo-Christian enclave of personal freedom. The Jews created something world-changing by introducing into the world the Hebrew Bible, a universal and judging God, the Ten Commandments, the rejection of the heart as the guide to behavior, the emphasis on justice, not social justice, and the doctrine of Jewish chosenness. They were forever hated for this. So too is America hated for placing the Bible at the center of its value system, its belief in being a second chosen people, its freedoms, and its capitalism. America is not hated for its slavery. If it were, given the ubiquity of slavery throughout world history, every country and ethnic group on Earth would be hated. America is hated for its values and its success. Whites made the country and the greatest civilization, not because they were white, but because of the values they held. Hatred of whites is ultimately hatred of those values. Given what the WASP has achieved in the West and in America, it takes extraordinary levels of dishonesty and ingratitude to be anti-white. But neither truth nor gratitude is a left-wing value. I didn't invite Dennis Prager to open my show today because he's the doyen of Salem Radio, of our Salem Radio National Faculty, but because he got it, and he got it so right. This has nothing to do with race. Nothing to do with race. This has to do with values. The values that made us the best. Values that the left must destroy if they are to create the all-powerful state they wish to command. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is America First. Dear friends, there's never been a more important time to protect your digital rights. That's why I and thousands of my patriotic listeners choose to secure our online data by using ExpressVPN. Did you believe that a VPN isn't for you because you can use the internet just fine without one? At any time you go online, your internet service provider can see every site you're visiting. Are you confused about how it works? ExpressVPN is an app for computers and smartphones that encrypts your network data and reroutes it through a secure server. That means you can use the internet more anonymously without having your activity tracked. Do you think that VPNs are complex and only for tech experts? Take it from me, they're not. With ExpressVPN, you launch the app and tap just one button to protect yourself. It's really that simple. Take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/GORKA and get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/GORKA to get 3 extra months free. Visit expressvpn.com/Gorka right now.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Really, guys, you've got to read it. It's all clear after that. I was angry. I was angry prepping for this show all morning. I was frustrated thinking that it's about race. It's not about race. It's about values. Let's talk to a man who... You got to listen to your muse. My boss said this morning, have you read that interview from the Heritage Foundation, from their podcast? Wow, it's superb. You've got to check it out. I didn't just read it. I got Mr. G, I got Jeff to reach out to the subject of that interview. He has tried more than 100 jury cases in courts in 19 states. I'm already impressed. President of the Center of the American Experiment. Now, that's a cool name for a center. John Hindenracker, welcome to America First.
Hi, Sebastian.
Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome. We have so much to discuss. I want to post the whole transcript from the Heritage Foundation's Daily Signal interview with you so people can get to the nitty-gritty. This interview, caveat, was recorded prior to the declaration of the verdict yesterday in the Chauvin trial. But you hit upon so many things that, for those who weren't following the court case live on television, are crucial to be apprised of. So let's walk through them. The first thing is what you would have done differently. And for you, what was the key? If you had been the defense attorney in this case for Officer Chauvin, what would you have done differently? And what was the key question that you would have tried to answer?
Yeah, so Sebastian, I'm always reluctant to criticize other lawyers because, you know, they know so much more about their cases than I do, right? But that said, there were two key issues in this case. The first is what killed George Floyd, what was the cause of death? And the second is what was Derek Chauvin's intent? You know, what did he think? What did he believe? What was he trying to do? And I didn't think that the defense really addressed either of those questions as well or as aggressively as it should have. I think the only real chance for an acquittal that Chauvin had was to convince the jury that George Floyd died of a drug overdose, period.
And let's talk about that. What levels of drug are we talking about, according to the medical examiner?
Yeah, so Floyd had 11 nanograms per milliliter. That's the units they use for this. Of fentanyl in his bloodstream. And as you know, Sebastian, fentanyl is unbelievably potent, you know,
yes.
300 times as strong as morphine, something like that. Tiny amounts of fentanyl will kill you. And so he had 11 nanograms. Typically, a fatal dose is considered to be 3 to 5 nanograms. So he had 2 or 3 times a fatal dose of opioid. Now, the prosecution knew that, and their theory was that's true, but he was an addict, and so he had built up higher tolerance.
But then this fascinating moment in your interview where you address this question that was so much part of the narrative for a year, the I can't breathe, I can't breathe. But when did he start saying that, Mr. Hidden Racker?
Well, so if you look at all the video, not just that last
the whole 20 minutes.
But the 20 minutes that came before, from the moment the police officers arrived on the scene, George Floyd is saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. He says it over and over again while he's standing up, while he's walking around, while he's in the squad car. He keeps saying, I can't breathe. Well, the reason for that is because one of the consequences of a fentanyl overdose is that your lungs fill up with fluid.
Right.
And he was also frothing at the mouth. Well, that's because his lungs were filling up with fluid. So even addicts, I mean, I've seen one study that was done of opioid addicts who overdosed on fentanyl and died. And the median dose that was required in that study for people who were known addicts was 9 nanograms per milliliter, and Floyd had 11. So, you know, my point is, I'm not saying this is a slam dunk necessarily, Sebastian, but there's no question that Floyd was overdosing on fentanyl as well as methamphetamine. He took speedballs. You know, he had that combination of drugs, and you can see it in the videos of the first 20 minutes. I mean, he's crazy. You know, he's just out of control. Obviously, because of the drugs. So you know, what I think that the defendant probably needed to do to have a serious chance of getting an acquittal is to take the position that it was the drug overdose that killed George Floyd. And the police officers are really bystanders. You know, on that famous 9-minute video, you do see George Floyd dying, and it's shocking because we're not used to that. But the video doesn't tell you why. The video doesn't tell you the cause of death.
Wait.
But
go ahead.
Well, so what the medical expert that the defense put on didn't say that, didn't tell the jury it was the drug overdose. Well, what the expert said was that there were a number of factors.
A number of causes, right.
Number of causes, the drugs, the high blood pressure, the heart disease, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, that was not enough because it didn't really contradict the testimony by the plaintiff's experts who said it's asphyxiation.
We're right? talking to the president of the Center of the American Experiment, John Hindenracker, who was declared Super Lawyer of the Year in Minnesota 2006. You're listening to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. Please support our sponsors, including Mike Lindell and MyPillow. They are trying to cancel MyPillow. 25 corporations boycotting his products. Go to MyPillow.com right now. Use my name, G-O-R-K-A, for up to 66% off. Support Mike Lindell. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. Let's return to the issue of what happened inside the courtroom or prior to what happened inside the courtroom. Can you address the question of juries, jury selection, and this peculiarity of the standard for negligence that you discussed?
Well, so those are a couple of different questions, Sebastian. But, you know, the jury selection, you know, one of the fundamental questions about this trial is whether it was possible
yes.
for Derek Chauvin to get a fair trial, given that everybody knew about the riots last summer. Everybody knew that the rioters are in town, you know, and that if the verdict isn't guilty, the city's going to, big chunks of the city are going to burn down. And so this downtown Minneapolis was basically a ghost town, buildings boarded up. The government center, 24-story high building, was cold and dark. It was surrounded by concrete barriers and barbed wire and National Guardsmen. And the building was vacated except for the one room where this trial was going on. That was the only thing happening in a 24-story building. So that is what the jurors saw when they went there for jury selection, when they went there for every day for the trial. They saw a city that was shut down and under siege by rioters and protesters. And so at the same time, you had everybody from the president to the governor to the mayor to people from, you know, social organizations and colleges and universities and major corporations all demanding that Derek Chauvin be convicted.
And the question,
Waters.
The question is, was that jury pool tainted or influenced or even coerced into arriving at that decision given the surrounding environment? We're talking to John Hindenracker here on America First on the Salem Radio Network. Stay on this channel. Relief Factor. Pain relief that works, pain relief that is real. How do I know that? I don't have a script. I don't have talking points. I live it and have done so for more than 2 years. I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. And I took Relief Factor. And two weeks later, I was pain-free. My back doesn't hurt. That's the story of tens of thousands of Americans. If you don't believe me, and I was skeptical too, I'll give it to you. I'm a big cynic. But then you see the video testimonials, you read the letters, then you realize it's true. Find out for yourself. Go to relieffactor.com, order your 3-week quick starter pack today, or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
He may be the president of the Center of the American Experiment, but for our purposes today, it's far more important that he was one of the top 100 lawyers in Minnesota, Super Lawyer of the Year for Minnesota. He is John Hindenracker. John, welcome back to America First. We are discussing your long interview with the Daily Signals podcast. We're posting the whole transcript online on our Twitter and Facebook feeds. Let's continue the discussion of yesterday's verdict in the Chauvin, Officer Chauvin case. I'm still... Look, look, call me an amateur, a layman. That's fine. I only studied international law in grad school. I'm not a lawyer. I'm still trying to wrap my head around unintentional murder, as per the Minnesota code, and why he was convicted of second and third degree plus manslaughter. Can you talk to us a little bit about this question of reasonableness and the standard of negligence in this case?
Yeah, so Sebastian, there was all kinds of testimony, expert testimony, about what the reasonable police officer would have done in this particular situation, including testimony from the chief of police of the Minneapolis Police
And his colleagues. Lots of damning testimony from his own colleagues.
Yeah, and several others from that department did too. And so there's all this testimony about what the best practice was, what a reasonable police officer would do. And basically it was that when George Floyd stopped screaming and struggling and kicking and was quiet, they should have gotten off him and rolled him over. That's what they said the reasonable police officer should have done. Well, I can buy that. I can believe that. But reasonableness is the standard for negligence.
Yes.
It's not the standard for murder, right? And there's this huge gulf between what's best practice, you know, what the police officer should do, what's the best interpretation of the Minneapolis Police Department guidelines on the use of force. That's one thing. But murder is something very, very different. And I was, frankly, taken aback at how little discussion there was any time in the trial, including in the closing arguments, of the actual elements of the crimes that Derek Chauvin was charged with. And, you know, I struggle, frankly, to see where the evidence was with respect in particular to his mental state, you know, which is an element in some of these crimes.
So what can you explain to us if there are peculiarities in the state's law when it comes to murder? Because I'm still trying to envisage how he was guilty on all counts without it being demonstrated that if it's murder he's going down for, that he had a forethought and intent to kill that man on that day.
Well, it's a little different from that because, you know, there's different sections in the statutes, you know, different degrees of homicide and so on. But the most serious offense that he was convicted of was second degree unintentional murder.
Yes.
And under Minnesota law, that means that he caused the death of a human being, George Floyd, unintentionally, but while committing or attempting to commit a felony. So I read that and I say, well, what felony was Derek Chauvin allegedly committing or attempting to commit when he caused the death of George Floyd? Well, the only possible answer is kneeling on George Floyd.
Right.
Well, but kneeling on a person, that's not a felony. And so the only thing that could make it a felony is the fact that George Floyd died. But wait a minute. See, now you're bootstrapping the requirement in the law.
Explain that term, that term, bootstrapping.
You're using the same conduct to be the felony that he was committing as the conduct that allegedly causes the death. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So this statute is intended to apply, for example, if you're in the midst of robbing
a bank robbery or something. Right.
Yeah, robbery.
Right.
And in the midst of it, you kill somebody. You didn't mean to, but you were committing a felony.
So
but the felony is the bank robbery.
We've got a minute left. Given that, it seems a circular argument. It seems very, very unsound. Given that, given the statement by Congresswoman Waters, given the statement by President Biden before the jury arrived at its verdict, what are the chances of his appeal? Is this a man who's going to serve 40 years? What is your prediction?
Well, he won't serve 40. I think the guideline is 12 and a half. I think the chance of a successful appeal is almost zero. You know, the appellate courts in Minnesota, they have no desire to send this case back and retry Derek Chauvin. There's no appetite for that. And the Minnesota Supreme Court is one of the most liberal courts in the country. So I don't think there's any significant chance of a successful appeal.
Well, thank you for unpacking some of the issues for us. We're going to continue to discuss them here on America First. You've been listening to John Hinderacker, president of the Center of the American Experiment. Read his full interview, the transcript, with the Heritage Foundation's Daily Signal. You can get it at our Twitter feed and our Facebook page. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Your call's next on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Sadly, we're living under a Biden-Harris administration, and we all have to navigate the fallout of the barrage of executive orders. We have a good idea of what these are going to mean for the country. More debt, more regulation, slower growth, and higher taxes. Congress continues to expand spending, and the Fed has no choice but to keep printing money at an accelerated rate. This causes the dollar to fall and gold to increase. Add in recent talk of the so-called Great Reset, the multinational elite enacting a digital wallet currency, and just think of the implications of all of this and exactly what it'll do to your personal finances. The importance of owning physical gold and silver has never been stronger. Time to create your own gold standard with a call to the dealer I do business with. Call the experts at veteran-owned Midas Gold Group. Call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-4653. Online at MidasGoldGroup.com.
Thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice, for being there to call out to your mom. How heartbreaking was that? Call out for your mom. I can't breathe. But because of you and because of thousands, millions of people around the world who came out for justice, your name will always be synonymous with justice.
She's just creepy. Come on, guys. She's just so creepy. How was it to hear him call out for his mom, I can't breathe? Because his lungs were filling with liquid because he had three times the amount of fentanyl in his system because he was a drug addict? Yeah, that's really... You're just perverse. Perverse. Does she even know the meaning of the word that you sacrificed yourself? What? By downing that fentanyl so they couldn't find it in your pockets? And with her designer mask. Did you hear our interview with Devin Nunes on Nancy's Cult of the Mask? Yes, Devin Nunes was on the show yesterday. You've got to see it, hear it. Go to rumble.com. YouTube may have terminated our account because they're a bunch of fascists. But we're on Rumble. More than a third of a million subscribers already. Subscribe today. It's free. Rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. We've got crazy video from AOC as well. Kamala and Biden himself. You don't want to miss a second. But first, let's go to your calls. Let's go to Juan in Texas. Line 2. Welcome, Juan.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a difference with you. I believe that the nation was racist at one point, especially during the 50s, the 60s, and partially the 70s. Even up into the 90s here in San Antonio, I was working contract work. There were rednecks, let's call them rednecks or white men, if you'd rather. They told me they were out of, I want to say up north, I forget what state. They told me you should be in the cowboy bars, how they talk about Mexicans. That was in 96.
Okay, can we talk about now today? Can we talk about now? We're talking about now.
Okay, I understand that, but this building up to now. Okay, first off, I'm a conservative, I'm a Catholic, and I'm a Trumper. But you had to have lived through those eras to understand the hatred and the hurt that exists in the black community and in the minorities. There's a lot of healing that has to be done for this nation. Now, I understand now that most of the bigotry and the prejudice came out of the Democrats. God damns the Democrats. I believe God damns the Democrats for their beliefs and their policies. Me, as Catholic, I believe that they are promoting mortal sin as policies, and they should be damned.
Okay. That's it?
That's it.
Thank you kindly. I concur with you heartily. And what BLM is doing is not bringing any healing to this nation. I tell you one thing, Juan. I moved here 13 years ago, and I was an immigrant. I became an American. 13 years ago, as Obama took office, I didn't see racism and hatred like I see it today. And that's because of the Democrats. You're absolutely right. Stay on the line. Let's give Juan a copy of The War for America. So let's go to Lance in Ohio, line two. Welcome, Lance.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. G?
Good.
I just want to say thank you. I've talked to you a few times, and you are what really gets me through the day in this crazy world we live in. And that's the truth. And I just, common sense, it's so uncommon anymore. People need to open their eyes and stop listening to everything they hear on the news. If people really want the truth, they need to turn on your radio show and listen to you talk for a couple hours. And if they can't come away from that a little smarter, then there's no help for them.
Is this check in the mail for Lance? That was very good. Thank you, Lance. That's why we're here. We're just trying to inject a little bit of sanity and common sense. God bless. I don't know if we've ever given you a signed copy of any of my books. Stay on the line. And if we haven't, let Lance take his pick. Yeah, it's just so rare. Common sense. And I think if there is a race in America, if there is a racial identity, it's not your skin color. It's common sense. It's pragmatism. It's living in the real world. And that's what we need more in D.C. Let's go to Chris in Virginia, line three. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Dr. G. It's an honor to talk to a true patriot who, by the way, I think also has the best voice in radio, in my personal opinion.
That's very kind. We must have sent a lot of checks out last week to these callers. It's working well. It's all the scotch and whiskey. I think it's the graveling with rocks. But we try. We try every day, Chris. Thank you.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
All right, it's not just my voice. What made you call in today, Chris?
Well, as I watch the reactions to this verdict, the most disturbing thing to me is hearing these reactions from AOC and Pelosi and Kamala and others who have said that the system still doesn't work. AOC has said that in particular.
Yes.
No matter whether you or I disagree or agree with it, they got the verdict they wanted.
Correct.
They got the guilty verdict. And yet AOC is still out here saying that the system doesn't work. What else do they want?
It's what Dennis said at the top of the show. I asked him, what is the end state? What is the goal? It's not anarchy and destruction as the end state. It is anarchy and destruction until they take power. They want more riots. They want more looting. They want more damage and death until all of America just gets so frustrated or intimidated that they become the uniparty. They become the only show in town. So, Chris, it's a great question. Now, again, this is another moment of clarity, that Damascene moment where you realize they're not crazy. They're not just anarchists. This isn't some kind of punk political movement. These people engender anarchy as a way station, as a transition point. It's a classic tool of the dictator. You saw this in 1932 in Germany. You saw it in 1936 in Central Europe. You saw it in 1945 to 1948 across Eastern Europe. You create instability, you create danger, you create chaos until in rides the self-appointed elite, and then they say, we will save you, whether it's Hitler, whether it's Stalin, whether it's Rákosi, or whether it's Mao. It's an old, old scenario. Thank you, Chris. Great call. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. More of your calls coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. You know I love my pillow and how it literally changed my life. It's the pillow that won't go flat. You can wash it and dry it as many times as you want, and it'll keep its shape. And it's made in the USA. Now, for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for just $29.98. That's originally $69.98, $40 of savings. And kings are only $5 more. That's the lowest price ever. Just $29.98 for the standard queen premium. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code G-O-R-K-A. You'll find the most amazing offers and deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A, MyPillow.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
This verdict is not justice. Frankly, I don't even think we call it full accountability because there are multiple officers that were there. It wasn't just Derek Chauvin. And I also don't want this moment to be framed as this system working because it's not working. And that's what creates a lot of complexity in this moment.
I wonder, does she have problems connecting words in sentences? And why is it Chauvin? I mean, isn't she the one who says Nicaragua in Chile when she's cooking mincemeat with beans? Was it Chauvin? No, Chauvin. Can't you pronounce it in an ethnically respectful way, AOC? It's not justice. Guilty on every count, not justice. Lord preserve us. Let's go to your calls. Greg in New York, line one. Welcome to America First.
Hey, what's up?
Don't tell me what's up. I'm the bloody show host. You're supposed to ask me a question.
Yeah, you sound like a very intelligent person, but it seemed like you're in a little bit of denial with this Chavez guy, like he did nothing wrong.
Who said he did nothing wrong? Did I say that? When did I say that?
I didn't say you said that, but it seemed like you're in denial. Your other guy called, you know, like denial. Like, did he do anything wrong? Yes or no? I'm asking, yes or no? Did he do anything wrong?
Yes, he did. What? Who said he didn't?
Okay, well, I just want to find out.
Good. Are you done?
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
Are you done? Is that why you're wasting the time of 3 million people?
Well, why is it wasting time to find out if you're?
Because nobody said that he hadn't done anything wrong. You're an idiot.
Thank you.
Goodbye. God. I think Officer Chauvin is a thug, personally. Did he murder him? No. When you've got three times the fentanyl, the deadly fentanyl dose in your body, you're not murdering him. He's murdered himself by taking it just before you arrested him. Watch the full 20-minute video of the arrest. Not the kneeling, the prior 20 minutes. Also, it's very interesting. Do you know the history they had together? Yeah. Officer Chauvin. This isn't just some random dude they picked up outside the bodega. They had a history. Both the officer and Chauvin, who had, what, 7 arrests? 7? Had worked as security at the same club. So if you're asking me, there's probably some kind of backstory to what went on that day. And what he did wasn't right. But it wasn't murder. Not in any classical, meaningful sense of the word. And forget the charge, forget the man. That wasn't a trial. Maxine Waters intimidating the jury. The president saying, you better come to the right verdict. What a shambles. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.